The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is still day, for the night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made some clay with the saliva and smeared it on the man's eyes, said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," a name which means sent. So he went, he washed, and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And he told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there, I washed, and I came back able to see." And they said to him, "Well, where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Then they brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. And now Jesus had made clay and opened the eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "You put clay in my eyes, I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight, and they asked them, "Is this your son who was once born blind? How does he now see?" His parents said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We don't know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, that they would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been once blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner." But he replied, "If he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, I once was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one who is speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this. They said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to talk today about walking in the light. You know that old song that just says, "Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come, where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright." Ah, Jesus, the light of the world. Amen? And what we see today in this gospel is that a man who was born blind is approached by Jesus, the light of the world, and he is given light. He is brought to the light. And there is this fact, if you're willing to accept it, that this blind man is you and me. You see, we were born blind. You say, "Not me, preacher. I've never had to wear glasses a day in my life." Now, we were born blind. I want you to know it. We were born in original sin. We were born in the darkness of sin, and we could not spiritually see. And the Lord had to bring us to the light through holy baptism. So it is that as we look at this man's journey today, I hope that you will also be able to see your journey and my journey. We're all making the same journey that this blind man made once he was able to see, and then he goes through stages to be able to fully understand who Christ is. Now, therefore, let's take a look at these stages, and as we go through it, and I want to say we have two of our catechumens here today who are preparing for baptism, and I want you who are catechumens to know that these readings are picked especially for the catechumens in the church. These last Sundays of Lent, we're preparing people for the final stages before baptism. And this is a very baptismal gospel, as we'll see. So let's take a look now. First of all, the first, if you will, stage of this gospel is the problem that is presented. The problem that's presented. It simply says here that there is a man who has been born blind. And this is the essential problem that all of us had as we came into this world. This is you and this is me. He has no vision. On account of original sin, we had all lost our spiritual vision. And this is so true today of so many in our world who have no vision, who have no idea why they were made, who are far from the light of God, and to some degree when the light is in some way revealed, find that light obnoxious or hateful. There is a problem with so many people today of a kind of spiritual blindness. They don't know God. They don't know themselves. They don't know why they were made. And even those of us who have been baptized struggle to see. We'll see this man, even after his baptism, has to struggle still to see and understand. So again, the first thing I just want you to notice is that there is a problem that is presented. And his problem is or was our problem. He cannot see. He has no vision. He is spiritually blind. So we see, therefore, this problem presented. Now, the next stage I want you to see is the purification that is prescribed. You see, the Lord makes some paste and puts it on his eyes, but then says to him, "Now go to the pool of Siloam and wash." Now notice that that name, John never gives us a detail for no good reason. John always gives us a detail because he wants us to learn. And in this gospel, John says, "Do you see what the Lord did here? This man is sent to wash." Baptism, church, is required of us. It is not just a ritual. It is a powerful moment when God pours forth his grace in our hearts and opens up our eyes so we can spiritually see. And so this word, he sends him to a pool called Siloam, a name which means sent. Jesus would say later to Nicodemus, he says that unless a man, a woman, be born again by water and the Spirit, they cannot see the kingdom of God. In order to be able to see, we've got to be washed in baptism. All right, now, therefore, the man goes, if you will, and it says here, he went, he washed, and he comes back able to see. That's baptism, church. I went, I washed, and now I'm able to see. Do you see it? Baptism. Don't miss this point. It's not just some guy who went to a stream, and this is baptism. I went, I washed, I came back able to see. But notice that word, able. He came back able to see. To be able to see is not the same as seeing. Now listen, I am able to see the Statue of Liberty. I have eyes, they work. But I can't see the Statue of Liberty right now because I'm nowhere nearby. To be able to see is not the same as actually seeing. Now why do I point this out? Because you see, this man is able to see, but you notice something, he doesn't see Jesus yet. He's able to see. But this, he has to come yet still to a lot of understanding. He needs to go through stages to understand what has happened to him and who has done this and who this Jesus really is. Do you see the journey now? Some people think it's enough to bring my kid and get him baptized. It is not. You've got to raise your child in the faith. It is not enough simply for me to stand up in front of you and say, I am baptized. That is truly a glory. But church, I have to learn to unpack this gift. I need to learn to appreciate this gift and learn and make my journey in stages to come to know who it is who has set me free. Are you on a journey? Are you coming to know Jesus more and more? Oh, church, it begins at baptism. But it does not end there. It is the beginning, not the end. So again, I point that out because many people fall into the trap of thinking that just answering an altar call, just getting baptized, just going through some little ritual is enough. It's the beginning of the journey. It is not the end of the journey. And I pray, and I know most of you that I see before me today that I know, I'm sure you're serious about your spiritual walk, and you've been making it for years. And how many of you know that you've come a mighty long way? That you know Jesus better today than you knew him 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so it is that he went, he washed, and he comes back able to see. Our eyes have been opened. We haven't seen it all yet. Amen? All right. Now, we've seen, therefore, the problem that is presented. We have seen the, if you will, the purification that is prescribed. And I next want you to know that there's a, if you will, a, he needs to now make progress. And he's going to do it through persecution and through pondering. Notice again, I want you to look at the stages that he goes through, because these stages are the stages we go through. Now, it goes like this. They're astonished that this man who's been blind since his birth, and we don't know his age, but let's just say he's in his mid-30s. For 30 years he's been begging, and he's been blind, and suddenly he can see. And so obviously, they're going to ask him some questions. Now, by the way, they've noticed, haven't they, a change in this man. Are you praying with me, church? Can somebody look at you and say, you've changed? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've had a real conversion? Amen? All right. People notice something in you. Now, listen. They say to him, who did this? Who opened your eyes?
who healed your blindness? And listen to what he says. The man they call Jesus. You know, this guy, this dude named Jesus, you know, I mean, he knows his name. That's about all of it. He knows nothing about him. This man they call Jesus. He put paste on my eyes and told me to go wash. I went, I washed, and now I'm able to see. Who? I don't know, this guy they call Jesus. Well, what do you know about him? I don't know, it's just some dude, some guy they call Jesus. So you see the stage that he's at, right? He knows the name of Jesus, but he doesn't know much about him. Pay attention, church. There's an awful lot of Christians at this stage. They've heard about Jesus. They've gone to church. But they can't tell you much else about him. We have a saying in the church that many people in the pews are sacramentalized but unevangelized. That means to say they've gone through, they've received sacraments, they've heard of Jesus. They're there on Sundays, and that's a great thing, but they've never really met Jesus Christ. Isn't that a tragedy? You know, you walk into God's house, and you go through the rituals, you make the sign of the cross, you do the bows, you kneel, and you say, well, that's done now, and I can go on about my business, and check off the God box, and we're done here, see? Sacramentalized, but unevangelized. Some dude named Jesus tells me I gotta go to church, and I just did that, and I'm on with my agenda. Okay. I don't mean to be cynical, but I'm just saying it's a struggle that some people have to move beyond the basics. I've heard of him, he's in the Bible, I know a little bit about him. Somehow he died for me, and somehow, for some reason, he did that, and there's just not much more going on. Okay, so you see, stage one is the man they call Jesus. And notice again, it's somebody else's faith, isn't it? It's inferential, it's not experiential. That is to say, many people are content to live their faith by inference. Namely, it's true because somebody else said so. My mother said that Jesus is Lord, so he must be Lord. My pastor said, or even the Bible says, and precious though the Bible is, until those words on the page come into my heart, they're just words on a page. But many Christians are willing to live just by inference rather than experience. I don't just know he's Lord because it's in the Bible or because my mother said so, but I know that he is Lord because he has sovereignty in my life and he is changing my life. That's experience. So again, he's that man they call Jesus. All right. So we see the first stage. But now you see his neighbors turn him over to the Pharisees because Jesus healed on a Sabbath. Now, don't get me started. But can you imagine someone casting out blindness and they're all uptight about some more technical thing? Listen, you know, if there are laws that you are not to jaywalk, right? Are you praying with me? But you know what? If I'm across the street and I fall over dying from a heart attack, don't go down to the corner and wait for the walking light, okay? The greatest law is love. Now look both ways, don't get killed, but please cross immediately and come and revive me, all right? So they're all worked up that, man, this guy healed on the Sabbath. You know, they're a miracle. A law was broken. All right, so you see what's going on. Now, notice this man is going to begin to experience persecution. They're going to harass him. And as he experiences this persecution, he goes and he starts to understand more and more about Jesus. And I want you to know that it's true for us as well. as we are persecuted. Now, persecution comes in different forms. It's not just because someone hauls me into court and makes me answer questions, but I can just get beat up by life. Anyone been a little beat up by life? And as we struggle in trying to get through this life, we learn more about ourselves and we learn more about the Lord. And that's what happens in this man's life. So whatever form of persecution or struggle in life, these things have a way of refining our understanding of faith and our understanding of who the Lord is. So again, notice we see here that at the first stage, they bring him to the Pharisees. And they say, now wait a minute, this man can't be from God, and he healed on the Sabbath. But some of them said, well, I mean, how could a man who isn't from God, you know, heal a man born blind? And they're all divided and this going back and forth, and they finally say to the man, what do you say about it? Now remember, he's already been arrested and brought to the Pharisees, and he's in front of them, and he's being pushed around, and they're yelling back and forth, and he's experiencing a lot of struggle with this. Notice what he says next. Who do you say he is? Now remember, he had just said, that guy they call Jesus. That man they call Jesus. Now, after a little bit of persecution and a little bit of pondering and reflection, he says, he is a prophet. So we've made some progress, haven't we? A prophet is someone who speaks for God. Now, in my journey, and I suppose yours as well, that as we just kind of go from this vague, I've heard about this guy named Jesus, we suddenly begin to move through a stage where we learn a little bit more, and we begin to say, you know, when the Lord says things, I need to listen. And we start paying attention to God's word. And we start allowing the scriptures to come alive, and the prophets, and all the words of Jesus, and Paul, and the apostles. These begin to light up our mind, and we begin to learn more about who Jesus is. So notice his progress. That man they call Jesus, now he's a prophet. Well, the persecution hasn't ended. That's not enough. Well, you're lying to us. You weren't really born blind. And they arrest his parents and have them brought in. They put them on trial. And they're afraid, and they just back down. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty angry if somebody arrested my parents. Now, they ask him again, come on. And they put him under oath. Give God the glory, which is a way of putting a person under oath. I adjure you, I put you under oath. Who is this man who did this to you? And again, now he makes even more progress. Remember, he had said, that man they call Jesus. Next, he's a prophet. The word of God is starting to come alive in this man. Now, the third time, they put him under oath, and he says, this man is from God. This man is from God. And then, of course, they rebuke him. And he says to them, man, this is what I don't get. He says, it's unheard of that anyone would open the eyes of a man born blind. And you're not sure that he's from God? What's wrong with you? Who's really blind here? You see? See, he's getting strong, isn't he? And how is he getting strong? Through persecution, through getting beat up a little by life, having to mix it up with life and struggle through, but his faith is getting stronger, it's getting more mature. You see what has to happen after baptism? Baptism makes us able to see, but we have a journey. We've got to begin to make that journey. And I know that many of you are well along on this journey. I pray I am too. But I simply say that baptism is the beginning. It is not the end. So, we've seen so far his progress. The man they call Jesus. A prophet. He is from God. And after finally announcing that he is from God, they throw him out of the synagogue. Now, big deal, right? Listen, to be thrown out of the synagogue in that day and that time, that was a huge thing. Because the synagogue was really the gathering place for the community. And if you couldn't gather with the community, a lot of things started to dry up for you. You know, we depend on others to help us. They didn't have government, Social Security, or any of that stuff in those days. You needed to depend on other people to help you. And you needed business contacts. You needed just simple human contact and so on. To be expelled from the synagogue was like being expelled from the whole community. He's thrown out. And now, Jesus himself comes, stands before him. And he says to this man, he says, Jesus heard that he'd been thrown out, and he found him, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." Listen here, church. Here's where he comes to mature faith. Watch what happens. "I do believe, Lord." And he fell down and worshiped him. Church, he's gone from saying that man they call Jesus to seeing him as a prophet to saying he is from God. And now he experiences that he is God. He is Lord. He is to be worshipped. He is to be adored. He is to be praised. He is now the King and the Lord of my life. He falls down and he worships him. Are you praying with me, church? He's come all the way. Now listen, this is our journey. I don't know where you are in your journey. I pray that you're far along. And listen to this. I just say, but I call him Lord. I'm right there. I'm at the end. Listen, careful. It's one thing to say he's Lord. It's another thing to really let him be Lord. And isn't that the struggle, right? Okay, Lord, you can have everything except my money. You can have everything except my time. My time is my own. I have to be reasonable about these things. So again, we're on this journey, aren't we? I don't know where you are in the journey. We're always deepening our vision. We're always growing deeper and richer, more obedient, more worshipful, more appreciative of what the Lord has done. We're seeing new things every day. Our eyes are increasingly being opened to see new and greater glories. And to even see in the difficulties and the setbacks of life, to have a vision to say, "I see, Lord, your glory even in these things." Do you see? This man is on a journey, and this man is you. This man is me. This is our journey. We were once blind. Now we're able to see. But what do you see? And what have you seen? And what yet still do you need to see? Okay, that's our journey. I don't know about you, but I can say that I need glasses now. My earthly eyes are shot. I just took my glasses off, and all I see is blur. My earthly eyes, who cares? They're going south. But the eyes of my heart, church, I'm seeing things I never thought I'd see. More glory and more glory, and I've seen greater things, and I can even see victories and defeats. I can even see just glory and glories that I never thought I'd ever see. I just thank the Lord that I'm on this journey. There's a beautiful line in the book of Sirach that says this: "Many, many and even greater things has God done. Only a few of his works have we seen." And wait till you see one day when you close your eyes in death and you open them up again. Church, wait till you see what God has to show you. "For no eye here has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard what God has waiting for those who love and trust him." You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Oh, praise God. So church, we're on this journey. And every day, Some new glory is to be manifest. Some new glory is to be seen. I pray like you for myself, and I pray for you that one day, one greater glory after another, and it will lead finally to us seeing the Lord face to face. I have it on the best of authority that as the man left that encounter with Jesus, he just started singing an old gospel song. Started singing, "Walk in the light, beautiful light. Oh, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world." Amen.